You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3. An afternoon drive home like no other.
Nick Cage, I mean, he's such a bad actor, yet he's been in so many movies.
What?
Well, he won
an
Oscar.
Las Vegas was a fantastic movie. I like that one, but other than that...
Gone in 60 Seconds is kind of a cool movie.
Yeah,
it's not bad.
Oh. This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Final hour, Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app and up on TSN 2. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. And if you're watching us on TSN 2, set your eyes on the O-Dog in the middle of this panel.
It's
wearing
nice.
A Hartford Whalers throwback jersey.
It is quite...
The remake jersey. It's an amazing jersey.
It really is.
It's such a beautiful looking sweater.
You need a mustache, though.
You almost do to wear this thing.
Like
Joel
Quinville,
Ray Ferraro,
Tippett.
Dave Tippett.
Who else?
Dave Babbage.
Davey Babbage. Yeah, like there were some mustaches on that.
Blaine team. Stoughton.
Blaine Stoughton.
50 goal man for the Whale.
Who's the guy we always talk about who ordered the right side of the menu?
Feather?
Did Feather ever have a stash?
No. Just one of every Sandy at McD's in the drive-thru.
Man, oh man.
Well, it's you look sharp, man.
It is.
Very good-looking sweater.
It's so tight, though.
Is that
like, I hope this wasn't the size of the jersey I wore with equipment under it.
No. It wouldn't be.
Couldn't be, because like...
No.
The gear was small back then, though, remember?
No, like, it was normal gear. Dude, I didn't play in the 60s. I retired in 2007.
Leather caps on his shoulders.
Well, Shanahan wore those all the way until he retired.
Yeah.
There would have been some vets that barely wore barely wore any equipment, I would assume.
That's true.
And you started when? In 95?
Yeah. I had real equipment, though. There were not...
Remember the
magazines.
You remember the shoulder pads that were so big, those Donzies?
Yeah. Craig Ludwig.
Yeah,
remember his shin pads?
Oh, yeah. Craig Ludwig's shin pads spun out.
He
like
was
goalie
the dirtiest
pads.
Defenseman to ever play the game.
They had so,
he would punch you in the face, punch you on the way down, fall on your head. Like he's just a dirty you know what.
Hatcher and Matvichuk were right there, too.
Well, they were all on the same team, weren't they?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and they
try
also
dumping
had,
it in the corner with those animals.
I'm trying to remember. It was another defenseman there, had dark hair, left-handed shot.
Sean Chambers. There were just a bunch of animals back there.
But the minute that Hatcher signed in Detroit, boy, did people go after Matvichuk. I remember guys yelling from the bench, you're you-know-what, his balls, is in Detroit.
Basically, you don't have protection anymore.
Guess what? Your guy is in
Detroit. It's funny you mention that because you notice Charlie McAvoy, who I don't think is overly tough. I think he's a big enough guy. But he's not a big guy. He's, this is a stereotyping thing, but he's an American college guy. That doesn't mean he can't fight or whatever.
No, but
man, is he a tough guy when Charles on the ice.
We all would be.
Of course.
We're standing next to a tree and he's
I would be
on
the
your
mouthiest
side.
Guy ever.
Well, Brad Marchand, I'll guarantee you, if you reviewed the tape, he is lippiest when Chara's on the ice.
For sure.
Everyone is.
I guarantee that. That goes without saying. Like, he's always... that scrum at the end of the second period.
Yeah.
Marchand starts that. I don't think he does that if 33's on a bench.
No. I had to tell. When I played with Ron Francis for a long time, I had to say, please don't start yelling at people because I can't fight anyone.
Yeah.
So if you want to start pissing and moaning and slashing guys and arguing, what am I going to do? So just don't even bother.
Well...
Save me.
Toughness and physicality, it's going to be talked about a lot between now and the beginning of next season.
Yep.
You knew that was coming. If the Leafs were going to lose against Boston, Mike Babcock would be front and center. And he's put up a shield for a lot of people.
Right.
You know, Kyle Dubas isn't getting talked a lot about. Brendan Shanahan's not really taking any bullets. The players in general, who they didn't get the job done. They weren't on the ice.
Right.
Mike Babcock is the guy front and center taking a lot of heat.
Right.
You knew that was coming. It's warranted.
Mm-hmm.
The richest coach in the history of the game, and he hasn't been able to win. And the way the team is built, whether they're tough enough, whether they're big enough, physical enough, that's what people are buzzing about.
Well,
and I don't think they are. I don't think it needs to be a drastic overhaul. I think they could use a little bit more size and heaviness, so to speak. But do you think Kyle Dubas is going to adhere to that? Do you think he believes that? And do you think he'll do anything about it?
Well, I would point to, if you just want to use recency bias and take a look at some of the players that were acquired around the deadline. Now, I think Charlie Coyle's a really good player. Coyle was traded for. Now, Coyle plays center ice, but he also can play wing. Like, he's 6'2", 220 that can skate and has pretty good hands. I think the most he's ever scored, I'd have to check his stat. Like, I think he's a 16 to 18 goal scorer. Like, that's a guy who was, I thought he was really good in the series. He was a guy that was tough to play against.
Well, the big thing going into the series was Nazem Kadri should chew Charlie Coyle up.
Well, he wasn't available.
Well, he wasn't even there, but
wasn't
Charlie
available.
Coyle was pretty damn good. Ultimately turned into a good pickup for the Bruins. And Johansson, I don't even care what they paid for him. That goal yesterday is worth the pickup.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, you can find players like that that are good complementary players to what you have already. That is going to be the challenge for Kyle Dubas. And the one thing he does have the luxury of, if he wants to trade, is he's got some bargaining chips. He's got prospects. He's got picks. And he's got some live players that, if they are going to move away from, that you can move. So it's going to be up to the philosophy of how he wants to shape his team. You've got some players, and the spine is there, but how you build it out outside of that and how you want to have that narrative. You can still find guys who play a heavy game that have good analytics. Like, that's, you know, they're not disconnected. So
exactly.
So it's about making sure that if Austin Matthews, it's not about going out and getting Wayne Simmonds. That's one guy wasn't going to change the look of that series. But if you had a couple that fit into the mix of your group, your whole team changes the way that they play.
Well, when you look at it, I think it's safe to say Jake Gardner will not be back. There's a decent chance Ron Hainsey won't be back. There's two spots on the back end.
Right.
Where it gives you an opportunity to change the complexion of your team a little bit.
Right.
Up front, Tyler Ennis is a UFA. Frederick Gauthier, who knows what's going to happen with him. Patrick Marleau is the elephant in the room. No one knows how that's going to play out. But for argument's sake, let's assume somehow he's going to come off the books.
Right.
There's three guys right there up front that you can replace with different styles of players.
Well, size, speed, you name it. Like, you know, that's the
there's
the
going to be turnover.
All of it. There is going to be turnover. And it may be, you know, somebody that you don't expect that it all of a sudden is available from a team because they are pressed up against the cap, or you make a hockey trade. I'm going to trade this player for that player.
Which seems more likely because of the Leafs' precarious position as well with their own salary cap.
Correct.
Like, that is where, now that the dust is settling, I think people are bracing themselves for turnover. There is every year. Whoever wins the cup, there's going to be turnover.
Right.
But this reality that they're going to be up, they're up against the cap. They have to sign Marner, Kapanen, and Janssen. Like, they're up against the cap. And they don't have a first-round pick this year.
I think they'll be able to, you know, sorry to interrupt.
I don't think they've got the high-end prospects that people think they have. Rasmus Sandin, he's not going anywhere. He might play for this team next year. Timothy Liljegren, I don't know if
I think it's gone sour on him to some degree.
Yeah, I'm not sure it translates to the NHL. So who are we talking about here? Jeremy Bracco?
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know. Like, I
agree. I don't know what's down there other than
Mason Marchman. I think they feel decent about him, but he's, you know, I don't know. I really don't know what they have down there that you can realistically expect to make an impact on this team next year.
But this is where you've got to be creative. If you can find a way, and it's easier said than done, Patrick Marleau at 40 years old, to take six and a quarter off the books, that gives you some flexibility. Are you convinced that Janssen and Kapanen are not going to get bridged?
I think they probably both will.
Right.
Likely. I think both are going to be back.
Oh, no. I think they're back. I'm saying, but I don't think that it's just, okay, I'm locking in Kapanen at 7 years at $5 million, and I'm locking in Janssen. Like, you got to be careful that 1 year, 1 year at Janssen, like, are you convinced that he's going to be a 25-goal scorer in this league and play a top-six role?
Well, that's the difficulty of being a GM.
Right.
That's where you have to make an assessment, and you've got to project, and you've got to be on the money. Because depending on who you talk to, it sounds like there may have been a deal on the table for Mitch Marner on a long-term deal last summer, and the Leafs didn't think that he was worth that kind of money.
Right. And he doubled down.
Now you look back on it, and I guarantee you he is worth that kind of money.
Yep.
So this is where, now, but that can burn you too.
Yeah.
You give Andreas Janssen, let's say, be like, all right, we want to lock you in on a 7-year deal. You got a Nikita Zaitsev on your hands.
Well, if
it turns out, you don't know, but that's the job of the GM.
A couple of years ago, you know, Connor Brown scores 20 goals.
Right.
You got to be careful as to situational. What does Janssen look like farther down in your lineup if he's not playing with an elite center?
Well,
like that, and I'm not. I think he's a good player, but do you give him a pass? Like where was he the whole playoffs? He had a nice game.
He had a great game three.
When Kadri was out, he scored the power play goal.
Yeah,
and he had a couple chances, but it's his first kick of the cat. I get it, but
he was a legitimate rookie in the NHL. Kapanen was, you know,
yeah.
I'm willing to give those guys more of a pass. They didn't perform as well as you would like them to perform, but I think if you look at it, like we can go down the list, how many guys are you willing to put a mortgage payment on that they're here next year? Like guaranteed these guys are playing on opening night in October.
I think at least half that roster.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, okay, so it's
John Tavares is an
easy
one. Let's
just do a quick yes guy, no guy.
Yeah,
off the name.
All right, I'll go through it right now.
Yeah, go through it.
John Tavares.
Yes guy.
William Nylander.
Yes.
Maybe guy.
No, I say yes.
Maybe guy.
I think yes guy, but I wouldn't put a mortgage payment on that. Patrick Marleau.
No guy.
No guy.
No guy, but again, if he says I'm playing and I got a full no trade, full no move, their hands are tied.
I think there's some creativity there. Mm-hmm. I think there's flexibility.
Maybe. Nazem Kadri.
Yes guy.
Yeah, I think I'm a yes guy.
I'm a yes guy, but again, maybe. I wouldn't put a mortgage payment on that.
Okay, those two, yeah.
Zach Hyman.
Yes guy.
Connor Brown.
No guy.
Yeah, I think that's a
contract. I'm a no guy on that.
I love the guy, but I think it's financially, if you're going to be farther down in the lineup, you need some money.
And there were reports at the deadline, his name was out there anyway. Trevor Moore.
Yes, guy.
Yes, guy.
Austin Matthews.
Yes, guy.
Mitch Marner.
Yes, guy.
Kasperi Kapanen.
Yes guy.
Andreas Janssen.
Yes, guy.
Yeah.
Frederick Gauthier.
Maybe guy.
No guy.
I think they may look for an upgrade in that position.
6'4" every day.
6'5".
He's a winner.
No guy.
World Juniors wins.
Nick Petan.
Yes, guy, but I think he could be up and down. They signed him to a 2-year extension at $750 million. They can bear that money in the minors.
No guy. I don't think he's playing opening night anyway.
If I'm him, I'd leave.
He doesn't have the right. He's under contract.
He just signed for $1.5 million
right.
for 2 years.
He's a new Josh Levo.
He's going to be in the Levo spot.
Tyler Ennis.
No guy.
I think he's going to get a decent payday somewhere.
I think somebody will give him money.
Morgan Rielly.
Yes guy.
Nikita Zaitsev.
Maybe guy.
I think if they had their druthers, a no guy.
Yeah.
I think he's this year's Serge Ibaka. Like, I think if the Raptors could have traded Ibaka, now in retrospect, they got lucky because Ibaka's had a resurgence this year and he's played well.
Right.
But I think if you can move Nikita Zaitsev, I think they do. I'm going to say no, guy.
His price point doesn't kill you, though.
No.
That's the thing. He's not making 7 a year. He's making 4. 2.
Right. But for 5 more, I think, 4 or 5 more years.
Yeah.
Jake Muzzin.
Yes, guy.
Yes, guy. Jake Gardner.
No, guy.
Ron Hainsey.
Maybe guy.
I have a maybe, but I
barely a maybe guy.
I lean yes guy. I lean it. Although, I mean, he might retire. He might be like, that's enough.
Yeah.
Travis Dermott.
Yes guy.
Yes guy. Freddie Anderson.
Yeah.
Yes guy.
Jerry Sparks.
No guy.
No guy.
No guy.
So you've got some no guys in those situations.
Yeah.
And a fair amount
of maybe guys.
But that's up to Kyle and his group. Patty is just driving off the road.
He might be on his way here.
I told him in an email today, don't steal our segment.
Yeah.
We should have done Weegee, not
yes,
no.
Weegee.
No.
Just for our own safety.
We came up with it. We use it.
He is. If he was in Hamilton, he's in the car already. He's on the 407.
It'll take him an hour and a half to get here.
He is
in traffic. I'm not too worried about it.
Scissor kick through the window.
We'll be safe. So yeah, I mean that's the position they find themselves in. There's still a core here that's a very good core, but there's a real chance that movement on the periphery.
And some of the maybe guys come in on their contract status or because their contract is attractive to maybe move out.
Right. Exactly.
So there is a lot of moving parts, but the one thing that I would wholeheartedly agree with is let this breathe.
Oh, you can't make crazy decisions today.
Just relax. Yeah. Let the dust settle, and then you start to methodically work through everything. Do we have the word? Is it locker clean out tomorrow?
Believe it is tomorrow.
So we're going to get some sound bites out of there. You'll get a sense of how, I mean, players are leaning. You know, Austin Matthews is going to be asked about his ice time.
Yeah, and Mike Babcock.
Right.
So I think someone will say, how do you feel about
it? We are playing all of that audio tomorrow. That is, I am stepping in, and we're playing Shanahan.
We're just going live.
Cubis. I don't know if Shanahan will speak.
I'm just saying, we're playing that tomorrow for the fans to hear. They want to hear what they have to say. You're going to hear it. And I'm not
on
hearing
Leafs
you.
Lunch and on Game
no,
Day with Matt Cox.
No. No, that's not the way you do a radio show. They're driving home. They want to hear what these people have to say.
Say something captivating, you're right. Like this. We'll play the Paul George clip from last night.
Yeah.
This is audio we're willing to play. Damian Lillard hit a shot basically from half court. Won the game, walked off, and waved bye-bye to the Oklahoma City Thunder.
It's a baller move, but boy, that...
Cocky and arrogant, and it's a mic drop.
Yeah.
But it was specifically directed towards Russell Westbrook, who chirps and barks away, and he looked brutal.
Yeah.
He shot... What did he shoot? He was like 10 for 31 last night or something. But Lillard hits a walk-off three.
And just waves goodbye.
Waves goodbye, and Paul George was on him. And George, he kind of defended him, but he kind of was like, go ahead if you want to shoot that shot.
4 feet away.
Here's what George said post-game.
I mean, that's a bad shot. Care what anybody says. That's a bad shot. But, hey, he made it. That story won't be told that it was a bad shot. We live with that.
He's not wrong, but if you hit the shot...
It's a bad shot if he throws it into the crowd and hits the mascot.
Like, it wouldn't... There's no way anyone wrote that up. Like, hey, take a three-pointer, fadeaway three from, like, 10 feet beyond the arc.
That's you at the YMCA.
Exactly. Those are the... I've taken 1,000 of those shots. I've hit one of them, and I felt great about it.
Wow.
Now,
Damian Lillard... call it a bad shot. I would say that's a low-percentage shot.
Low percentage.
But he made it. He was like a god.
But that's why Paul George...
People driving home don't want to hear that right now. They want to hear what Mike Babcock has to say tomorrow. So we're going to play the audio for them. And if Kyle Dubas speaks, we're going to play Kyle Dubas.
Well, why don't we try to get him on the show? That's what we're going to attempt to do.
Yeah, I think we're going to attempt to have...
Even better.
That's the attempt.
We're going to take calls tomorrow. Because you know what? We were supposed to do it today, and we did not do it. We want to hear from the people what they're thinking.
Well, okay. Let's let the dust settle a little bit from there, because we would have just had hot fire today.
Oh, people
right?
are
That's
really...
when you're supposed to get them on.
Oh.
Yeah,
because I've seen people writing to us, you got to trade Marner for Gallagher. You got to... I'm like, hold on a second.
Well, if
just
Al
relax.
Knows how to screen a call, there's not an issue here.
Well, I think Al knows how to do
I think
that.
Al, yeah, Al's a competent individual. Al knows
Alan
what's
Moe's behind the window there.
I'm not too worried about those two.
Maybe Friday we take some calls.
Yeah, we can make... We'll do that.
Mail
I got
it
nothing
in
against
Friday.
It.
Friday.
Nothing against
Friday
that.
Could be a possible personal day.
Oh, really?
Well, you've been busy.
Based on what?
Work. Based on I've been working, me and him have been working around the clock.
So is Noodles taking a personal day?
I don't
day?
Care. That's his prerogative. I need one. I need to get recharged, refreshed. Possibly, I'm leaning towards Monday, maybe. This Friday, possibly. What are you laughing at, Malls? You take every Friday off.
I just love how you carve everybody else, but it's a personal day for you. Okay.
Every long weekend, you take the Friday off.
But that's
when's
a stat
the last
day.
Personal...
stat day.
It's a stat day for staff.
For employees.
Well, guess what Friday is? It's a stat day, whatever that is for me.
You're creating your own stat day?
That's correct. But I'm not 100% sure. I think I have to work at night, so I'm coming in anyway. But it could be Monday.
Aren't you on the panel Friday night?
Yeah, that's what I said. If I have to come in for TV, I might as well do radio. But a personal day is coming up around the corner.
Don't you get weekends off? Or do you have to work on weekends?
I do not work on weekends. Well, now I do, because it's the playoffs.
Yeah, during the playoffs, yeah.
So I have to work every weekend. I don't see you in here.
No, I don't. I don't do those panel hits.
I don't see him back there because he's at somebody's cottage on Friday taking vacations, and then he doesn't come back.
So you need a personal day. What do you intend on doing with your personal day?
Whatever.
Give me the full itinerary.
He's going to listen to the show.
It goes without saying.
I'm the project manager at my cottage right now, doing a fence, some landscaping.
How did the gate turn out?
Oh yeah, he's good. He's all good.
Project manager. Do you know how much they probably hate your guts? The second you show up, they're like, here comes this guy who thinks he knows what he's talking
manager.
About.
I got the guy leaf tickets. Is that a bad project manager?
Yeah, but do you think you know what you're doing? Like, as you actually know how, like, landscaping and building fences and
absolutely.
Stuff. So why don't you do it yourself?
Well, I don't know how to build it. I know what's going on.
Exactly. If you don't know, I'm not saying I do, but I just got my roof done last year. I wasn't standing out there. Shingles, get the shingles down, and then
you know what? The three of us are really good at writing a check to skilled professionals who do it.
Right.
Support
the economy.
That's what I do. You still got to be the project manager, though.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's your house and your money. You can do whatever you want. But do you think they like having you hovering around?
I don't hover.
Well, what the hell is a project manager?
You're surveying the situation. You're monitoring.
Have you pointed out foibles? Have you pointed out something that's gone wrong?
A foible, huh?
What is that?
That's just a word you looked at this morning.
He's just trying to be a hero.
Have you looked at it this morning?
I love that word.
What's foibles?
No, I'm looking it up. Hang on. Look. Let me look.
I'll find you the definition right now.
I want it.
A minor weakness or eccentricity in someone's character.
Yeah. Why don't you say malfunction?
It probably wasn't even the right word.
Yeah. I think the Leafs game had
it's a blemish.
Foibles last night.
Yeah, a cinnamon. Synonyms.
You're such an idiot.
Weakness, failing, shortcoming, flaw, imperfection, blemish, fault, defect.
Again.
Frailty.
This guy's such an idiot.
Inadequacy, limitation. It's actually the perfect word for that. Foible.
Have you pointed out the foible?
The foibles.
I don't know. That one, it's tough to get behind. Where did you come up with that?
I just looked it up this morning, and he was looking for an opportunity to use it.
You know what? He's got a desk.
Yeah, because I'm the project manager of this show.
How many times during a show this guy will use a word that's so inappropriate for sports radio, but he loves it?
I'm the project manager of this show. I gotta rise.
Instead of saying,
pointing out things.
I was going through Twitter, he goes, I was reading a piece. I was reading a piece.
Yeah, because I actually read and I subscribe.
No,
and
you could say I was on Twitter, and instead you say I was reading this piece. It's garbage. You picked up on that, huh? Yeah, it's garbage.
Okay,
a piece.
Yeah, it's always with a guest on. You're like, I was reading a piece on that, and
how do you know I didn't read that piece?
I don't care.
How do you know I didn't read it?
It's just for the guy that's calling in. You're like, I was reading a piece regarding that, and I'm like. Now this guy thinks that you're this brainiac. That
yeah, but I read a lot
you
of
may
things.
Have read.
Now, sometimes I do read
Why can't you
Twitter?
Say, so-and-so from Sacramento said this instead?
Because I don't care to give them any attention.
I read this piece.
Okay, so now if we're ever talking about your fence or your landscaping, I'm not going to promote the company that did it. I have to promote the project manager. Are you the guy that's going to get all the credit?
You can promote Timmy, the guy that's doing the fence.
I don't know. Timmy's got enough promotion.
No, he deserves it.
I know, but did you pay him for the gate too? Does he have to be paid, or was it part of the deal for the tickets?
Know.
I can't.
I think you're paying
the
for that.
It's going to be figured out. I read a piece on building fences.
You and Jonas and Masters.
Well, exactly. I subscribe, so I actually do read it. You read the first paragraph and then you bail out.
Well, because it goes blank.
Well,
it goes blank on Twitter. I'm not signing up for that.
You can read
just
first,
enough.
Yeah,
just enough to claim that I read the piece.
I read The Athletic a lot. Because there are some fantastic writers on there.
That's right.
Give me a free code, or I'm not doing it.
Well, we've given them enough promotion. You probably should get it for free.
Yeah, we should call Myrtle. Be like, hey, I give you enough promotion on our show. I'd like a code. I think he would do that.
I think he probably would. All right, we got to go. Jerry's After Dark later in the hour. Darren Dreger, Hockey Insider, our project insider manager. That even makes sense.
I read a piece that Darren wrote lately.
Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.
Count it up.
All right, we'll get to Jerry's After Dark later in the hour. Waiting on the Vladdy Guerrero Jr. news. We believe he'll be called up more than likely tomorrow, if not early Friday. Probably start playing Friday night. And the rest will be history, man. He'll be a major leaguer at that point. Played again today, hit a bomb for Buffalo, feeling good. The city could use it.
Yeah, you need a pick-me-up. A little bit of a pick-me-up. And, you know, I saw that there was a decent crowd.
Not bad, about 20 grand. That's what they said last night.
To give Pilar some love.
Yeah, Pilar got some love. He deserves love. He was a good player, and he was here for a long time. Glory years in 15 and 16.
So a lot of those fans, I bet you, were watching the Leaf game on their phone.
On the app, I would assume. Here's our hockey insider, Darren Dreger. What's up, Dregs?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, good.
Well, we're trying to dissect the situation the Maple Leafs find themselves in. It is not where they want to be. I started off the show today saying it's a failed season. You know, if you're this was not a building block year. You're supposed to win. They're built to win. It didn't happen. How much change are you bracing yourself for?
Yeah, a fair amount, and it's salary cap specific, right? See, I might be the minority here. Probably am. I feel like the Toronto Maple Leafs are better, not because they lost Game 7 to the Boston Bruins. Just individually, they're better. I mean, John Tavares makes this team better. They didn't have him a year ago. You want to look at some other elements. Auston Matthews was a no-show in last year's opening round of the playoffs. This year, I mean, he was arguably among, if not the most impactful Toronto Maple Leaf. So there's progress in all of that. But in answer to your question, if Mitch Marner commands as much as I believe he will, you know, can one team afford three guys making $11 million or more? And the answer to that is I don't believe they can. So it's going to be subtraction, addition, addition by subtraction, call it whatever you will, but there are bodies going overboard. And, you know, Nylander may have played his last game. You know, some want to speculate on Nazem Kadri. I'm not so sure on that. You got to wonder about Kasperi Kapanen. You got to wonder about Janssen. Obviously, Jay Gardner likely wouldn't be re-signed as a pending unrestricted free agent, and perhaps the list goes on.
Are you saying, though, Dregs, that you can't build a team with three guys at $11 million plus, which means one of them has to go?
No. It's difficult to build a team around three $11 million players. I don't know that Toronto was a choice.
Look at Chicago. They only have two.
Yeah. What's Toronto going to do? You know, they can't let somebody offer sheet Mitch Marner. They can't. They've got a match. And they're locked in with Matthews and Tavares now. They're not going to move one of those pieces, but that just means that, Ilya Mikheyev, who's a pretty good player, 24 years old, playing in the Continental Hockey League, if or when he signs with the Toronto Maple Leafs, chances are he's playing in the National Hockey League next year. So your fourth line guys are going to be $1 million or less players. That's just the reality of that situation. And this is where it gets complicated. You know, even with a backup position, and Winnipeg's in a very similar precarious situation with this. You know, what's Garrett Sparks make?
$750 next year.
So, I mean, I hear people say, well, they've got to find a way to upgrade on their backup goaltender. Yeah, he just wasn't good enough. Okay. All right. What are you getting for $750,000? You tell me, because Brassois as a pending free agent in Winnipeg, they're in the same precarious spot. You know, I'm sure Winnipeg would love to hold on to him, re-sign him, extend him, whatever it takes.
What's McElhinney going to be wanting after that year he had in Carolina?
Yeah, for sure. And maybe if you want to revisit, if they hadn't made the decision early in the year, they did with McElhinney. Perhaps he'd have been wanting. He would have wanted to be part of developing a progressing team. And who knows, not to, again, throw dirt at Garrett Sparks, but maybe that tandem would have been better. The outcome may have been better. I'm just saying that there are going to be holes around this lineup, pretty obvious holes, just given the predicament that the Leafs are in with Marner.
Speaking of Marner, Dregs, would you say that he says no to the World Championships because of his contract situation?
Yeah. He, I don't think that he's flat-out told Hockey Canada yet. Maybe he has. The message that I got earlier today was that he wouldn't be going. And, the same applied to Matthew Tkachuk with Team USA. It's too big a gamble, I would think. I don't blame those guys. Hey, look, we're going to find out. We already know Sidney Crosby said no. We know that Stamkos is injured, so he couldn't say yes. He's physically not capable. But at some point, some of the names are going to get out. And I don't know if that matters to you guys as former players or not. I just look at Team USA, not to derail this conversation into a world championship conversation, but I look at Team USA with Patty Kane leading the charge, and then I look at the Swedes' initial roster. Man, this could be a dark one for Canada if a couple of the Leafs don't step forward, or you know, Mark Stone and a few of the Vegas Golden Knights don't step up, Canada could be in trouble.
Slovakia is a tough sell, man.
Yeah,
it's a very
and it's
tough
such
sell.
A long tournament. You know, it is
that's
a tough
what it
sell.
Is. Plus,
you know what? When you lose in the playoffs, your heart is gutted.
Your mind is done. Yeah. You don't know what you're nursing as far as the physicality of it. And to go and give 3.5 weeks of your summer, your off season, to play, again in a tournament and risk injury, it's a spicy meatball. Yes.
Well, and look, I mean, think about it. You know, we're talking about Mitch Marner, who's hours from the disappointment of losing Game 7 to the Bruins. You know, there have been guys who have been, away from hockey for 2+ weeks. You know, so they're supposed to, because they missed the playoffs, say, I'll play for Canada. And what are you, skating by yourself for 2 weeks? And then you've got to ramp it up? Like, they don't get going until early May. So for some of these guys, it's close to a month off before they have to start playing again. It's tough.
With Darren Dreger, TSN Hockey Insider, what's your kind of radar suggesting or saying about Mike Babcock and his stature here in Toronto?
Yeah, I believe he's fine. I'll admit I don't have any inside information from ownership or senior management to state that as a matter of fact or information. Just based on some messaging around the Maple Leafs, they seem pretty eager to put this loss behind them and start immediately building and planning for next year and a better future. And that includes Mike Babcock as head coach. But, like every team that deals with disappointment, there's got to be some tough conversations. I feel like the blocker in all of this might be Shanahan. So even if Kyle Dubas is worried about holding back somebody like Sheldon Keefe with the Toronto Marlies, and maybe, and again, this is just my speculation, Dubas would be okay with a coaching change, I don't know that Shanahan would. And I don't know that ownership would, even though many have speculated that, he's just finishing up his fourth full year. And many believe that the big chunk of the $50 million over the eight-year term was paid in the first 4 years. So not that the Toronto Maple Leafs worry about the finances, a good chunk of it's probably already been paid. But I don't get the sense, unless somebody comes in with the big stick and says, no, we got to change this, that's likely to happen.
It's although there's craziness going on today, any other organization, like if it was Carolina, and a coach came in there and took a team that was in 30th, and brought them to the playoffs 3 years in a row with 100+ points.
Yeah,
there would be elation.
Yeah, and guys, not everybody loves playing for Mike Babcock. We know that. I mean, Pavel Datsyuk, Henrik Zetterberg, go down the list of the players that probably, I know they didn't love Babcock. In fact, some of them just flat out hated him, but they played for him, and they played for each other. And so even if there is some kind of sandpaper situations between a star player, whoever it might be, and the head coach, so what? So what? Like, who are you replacing Mike Babcock with that's going to be better? Unless you believe that Sheldon Keefe is too good to let go to another operation. Because he's going to go. I mean, how long is he going to stick around? Even though the Marlies can pay him, the Maple Leafs as an organization can pay him whatever they want to pay him to keep him. At some point he's going to go, I appreciate this, the money is great, but I want to be an NHL head coach. And if that's not this offseason, then, maybe it's next year.
Yeah. Well, I'm with you. I don't know who would be out there that's better, but I do think Mike Babcock has to change a few things. I think he has to change his approach. Yeah. And, I wonder how much weight his words, his suggestions will hold this offseason in terms of the moves that are going to be made. Because, he's a very good coach.
Yeah.
And I said it off the top, be careful what you wish for, because this guy, the inmates don't run the asylum with Mike Babcock here. And it was a gong show 5 years ago. Gong show. And he's cleaned all that up. And there's a lot of value to that. A lot of value. But Can he get them over the top with this style of team, the team that Kyle Dubas wants to put on the ice?
Right.
I don't think he can unless he starts to adjust. And that's what Dubas is, and Shanahan, for that matter, are going to have to figure out. Will he listen to any advice?
Yeah. Well, and I think he has to. You know, otherwise, if he's unwilling to do that, and I can't believe, like, he's such a student of the game that there is going to be some internal reflection. And, you know, he's humble enough to recognize that he makes mistakes. Made mistakes, I'm sure he'd admit to, from last night throughout the series against the Boston Bruins and extended throughout the season. But your point is well made, Brian. It's one thing to admit that you made mistakes internally, and it's another to be confident enough in your responsibility to develop a Stanley Cup contender that you're willing to fix it. And, you know, maybe that message has to come from Shanahan or someone above Brendan Shanahan, you know, on the board. I don't know. But it would be sad if it had to come from somebody like that. And, you know, Mike didn't recognize, just based on, you know, his own evaluation, that there are things he has to change.
Quickly, Dregs, before we let you go, do you think we're going to see a change in the NHL, the way that they handle major penalties and the ability to review major penalties in the future?
I do. And worst case scenario would be Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final. Second worst scenario, Game 7 of any playoff series. And that happened last night. I got to tell you guys, I was surprised how dismissive everyone was of that discussion in Boca at the GM meetings in March. They talked about it. They talked about this very thing happening, where why wouldn't you want your officiating crew to be able to have a second look? Take the 30 seconds before assessing a five-minute major, if you choose to make sure it's a five-minute major. I got to believe that if O'Hanlon and company had had that extra look or a couple of replays in 30 or 45 seconds, that they would have said, look, that is a terrible outcome, a horrendous injury. Never want to see that, but it's a two-minute cross-check. That's what it is. I don't know. I mean, that's how I feel. So I bet it will change. I mean, it hasn't been glossed over, but come on. I can understand, and I don't fault the officials for calling it. When you see a player on the ice with blood coming out of his head, you know, your human reaction is pretty obvious. But, you know, what happened to the Vegas Golden Knights that they allow four on the penalty kill?
Yeah.
Yeah, they could have mixed in a kill.
There's cause and effect with all of this.
Yeah, mix in a bit of a kill.
Spot
a four spot,
penalty.
Probably.
Well, and a timeout or something, like attack the mascot, rip a shot at the mat, do something. Like, you've got to find something to get the momentum out of this situation.
Didn't happen.
Yeah,
well, we'll see. It's going to be a fun offseason. I mean, the Stanley Cup playoffs continue. We got a game 7 tonight.
I know. It's going to be great.
It'll be crazy. Enjoy it, buddy. We'll do it again soon.
Okay, guys. Thanks.
Here's Darren Dreger, our hockey insider. Jerry's After Dark. One more horny hot take from Jerry. We'll get to that next.
Welcome to Jerry's After Dark, where all of your wildest hot takes come to life. Because Jerry's always in the mood for one more, and you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Jerry.
I'm surprised, I'm not going to lie, that Jerry's After Dark has carried any kind of
I was just going to say, I don't know how it's morphed into like this.
Like, we have to do it really on a Wednesday after dark?
It's a thing.
It is.
It's a thing.
Well, I like it, but
the mood has been set. The mood has been set. You guys ready for one more take?
Yes.
Because I know it's that nerd Adam Silver's worst nightmare, Jerry is praying for a Raptors final appearance. And it begins with the Raptors disposing of Philly in six games or less.
I feel good about the Raptors. Best defensive team in the NBA in the first round. Philly, I mean, they got talent, they got a good team, but I got Marcus Gasol on Joel Embiid. Kawhi Leonard going to shut down Simmons.
Kawhi Leonard was getting some love from Shaq and Charles Barkley today.
He's been unbelievable.
I'd play the audio for you, but God knows you don't want to hear that.
Did you ask for the audio, or were you doing
the
whole...
Do we have the audio, Mals?
You got to ask for it. Project manager.
It's already in the system.
How about you're the new project manager of all the audio on the show?
Well, no, don't do that, because we're going to have a whole show of audio tomorrow.
How about this, okay? Al, you can take a personal day Friday, and I'll be the project manager of Overdrive. Whatever I say is going down on this show, it goes down.
No.
Al?
Are you going to be here on Friday?
Yeah, because I have to work at night, so I might as well come in for radio.
Panel. But then you may have to leave if you're doing panel hits at 6 o'clock. So then that probably won't work well when we don't have a producer behind.
Yeah, exactly. We need someone to connect to at all times.
If you let me do my thing on Friday, I'll be the producer of the show.
The project manager.
Yes.
All right.
Very different. All right.
I'll sit in that chair and everything.
No, you can't sit back there.
No, your chair.
Oh, you're going to sit in my chair.
I get access to the computes, everything.
No, because it won't go well. It's not going to go well.
No. Yeah, I'm going to have to say no, Grant.
It's just phone calls for 3 hours. Audio. Different things. Guests I like.
Oh, yeah? Who do you have in mind for Friday?
Who knows?
All right, we'll figure that out. I'm high on this, though. 80% Raptors in 6 months.
6 or less?
100. The team or the city needs it.
Yeah, I'm feeling it.
Vladdy's coming up. We need the Raptors to spank them.
78%.
Feeling it.
Feeling it.
Let's get some positive mojo going here in Toronto.
Exactly, positive mojo.
Let's get some best bets cooking and get out of Dodge.
Best bets brought to you by ProLine, looking at the Major League board. Chicago in Baltimore. I'm on the south side. Boston home plus over Detroit. And Dodgers, good team. Cubbies coming alive here, though. I'm on the Cubbies tonight. Throw down 20, you can score 95. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio. And get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game.
How'd you make those picks? Did you read a piece?
I actually did read a piece today. I wrote a piece on the Boston Red Sox.
How they suck?
Yeah. They have
Chris Sale's winless?
It's not been good for the Sox. Old Dennis Eckersley, though, he called a shot yesterday. He did say the Leafs aren't going to be able to cut it in game 7.
Who's this loser, Stuhl Presidente or whatever?
That's the guy from Barstool Sports.
Oh, yeah. Who is this guy?
What did he say?
Oh, he's just like, people in Toronto are losers. It's just like,
well, he's a Boston guy.
Yeah. He's a loser.
Boston super fan.
He's a loser.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's Barstool Sports, isn't it? Isn't that the president of Barstool Sports?
Congrats.
I don't know. I haven't seen it, but...
I don't know.
Anyway, all right, we're back tomorrow. We're going to tee up Raptors round 2. We got a game 7 tonight. Carolina versus Washington.
Let's not forget. Justin Williams has got to tonight.
Mr. Game 7. I think he's going to show up tonight. Although I think the Caps are probably going to win, but
never know.
You never know. As they say, you never know.
We're going to be back tomorrow
at 4 p.m.
Join us.